Track 38.
Welcome to the In Company Business Podcast. This week, the art of decision making.
In business, is it better to make good decisions or better to make lots of decisions? Peter Kindersley, the founder of Dorling Kindersley Books, is in no doubt. It doesn't matter, he says, if the decision you make is right or wrong. What matters is that you make it and don't waste your company's time. If you make the decision, you begin to distinguish the good from the bad. But Michael Begeman, who runs the meeting network at 3M, takes a different view. He claims that not all successful meetings end with a decision. Decisions, he says, are the valium of meetings. People think, great, we finally made a decision. Now we don't have to worry about that issue anymore. So who's right? Does decisiveness lead to good decision-making? Or is the best decision sometimes no decision? The answer is partly cultural. In countries like the United States, for example, the ability to make speedy decisions is valued because decisions tend to lead to action. And as America is an action-oriented culture, being seen to be actively doing something is an important part of a manager's job. In Japan, on the other hand, managers may prefer to gradually build up agreement among their colleagues until the right course of action simply emerges, without a conscious decision ever having been made. By contrast, in France, the decision-making procedure is very different from both the American and Japanese approaches. For the French, a long process of logical debate generally precedes all important decisions, some of which, as Begeman recommended, may never be made. How do you make your decisions? By logically analyzing all the available data, or by trusting your gut instinct? Research done by Daniel Goleman, the originator of emotional intelligence, shows that highly successful decision makers do both. But according to Dan Ariely, a psychology professor at Duke University, much of our decision making is actually highly irrational. For instance, it was noticed some time ago that culturally similar countries varied considerably in their willingness to donate their bodily organs after their death. In Austria, for example, organ donation is 100%, whereas in Germany it's only 12%. In Sweden it's 86%, but in Denmark only 4%. How do we explain this dramatic difference? In fact, it turned out to be the result not of culture, but of the way the organ donation questionnaire was worded. In Germany and Denmark, people were asked to tick the box if they wanted to participate in the organ donation program. Most didn't tick it, and so didn't participate. In Austria and Sweden, however, people were asked to tick the box if they didn't want to participate in the organ donation program. Again, most didn't tick it, but by deciding not to tick it, they ended up participating. So it seems like, given the choice, most of us are more comfortable not doing than doing. Maybe that's why in 1999, George Bell, the former CEO of web portal Excite, turned down the opportunity to buy a startup search engine company because the asking price of $750,000 just seemed too high. The search engine, of course, was Google, with a current market value of $250 billion, a 330,000-fold increase since Bell decided not to buy it.